Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 281, stanzas 1 through 4. Mindful of our human frailty, is the God in whom we trust. He whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. 1 through 4 of Psalter 281.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, and there of John 10, beginning with verse 22. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 10, beginning with 22 to the end. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, it behooves us to humble ourselves before Thee In thy greatness and in thy majesty, wherein thou art seated in thy throne, in the place of thy glory, before whom the multitude of heavenly hosts and all those that may be before thy throne this day may cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. But we have no living impression in our hearts of thy greatness and of thy majesty as we do dwell here upon thy footstool. For we believe not thy word of ourselves. Oh, that thou may grant us the work of thy Holy Spirit within, and then we shall have a small beginning of that knowledge, and we shall begin to humble ourselves before thee in dust and in ashes, and then we will feel who and what we are in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. Even to say with thy servant Abraham, Behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And one day we will appear before thee, each one of us individually, and we shall have to give an account before thee of all that we have done in this life, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And who shall be able to answer one question of 1,000 in that day? But thy servant did say, Thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. But then it must be as we can read in thy word, while it is today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But Lord, we have no heart to ear to hear, and we have no heart to understand. Oh, then we are so dependent upon thee, that thou may look upon us also in this hour. And when we have come together in thy house, thou dost say, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I know them, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Lord, thou knowest thy people, how often that they fear that they indeed will one day perish. For how many speakers are there within, and how many voices to condemn, because we have left the days without number, and because that our heart that is not inclined as it ought to be, so often taken up with vanity and all that is carnal and empty in this world. And we can leave thee so easy in thy place. O Lord, thou sayest, My sheep hear my voice. O, could it please thee to speak, that thou may remember those that are unconverted, that they may also be called by thee. For thou knowest thine own, and they are elect from a never begun eternity. And thou knowest those that are so also in our very midst, because thou still givest that thy word may be brought from Sabbath to Sabbath, and thou still hast dealings with us as a people. Thou still takest not yet thy candlestick away from us, and thou still then hast thy elect that must be called out of darkness into thy marvelous light. O Lord, that thou may cause each one of us to bow our knees before thee. O, we do not know what one day may bring forth. The callings unto us are multiplied in the way of thy word and in the way of thy providences. For each one we must give an account on that great day of days. Lord, our time that is so short, our life that is as the grass. In the morning it does flourish, and in the evening it is withering away. And when the wind passes over it, then it is gone. Oh, that thou may grant us understanding hearts and a place to lay our needs before thee. And because today is a day of grace, and thou hast given it unto us, and thou still profferest peace and pardon. Oh, that thou would draw us, Lord, because when thou wilt not draw us, we will never run after thee. Turn thou us, and we shall be turned. Seek us out even as a pearl of great price. And wilt thou thyself as that great shepherd leave the 99 in the wilderness and go to seek out that which is lost? Oh, that thou may look upon young and old together. Give the fear of thy name in those that have become old. Oh, give them to bow their stiff knees and to fold their hands and to cry unto thee out of the deep need of their heart with an eternity that is approaching closer and closer. O Lord, how can we appear before thee in that state wherein that we have been born? But it needs to be bound upon our hearts because we are foolish and because we are careless and because we are carnal and because we are dead. O thou who livest and who sittest upon the throne of glory, and thou whose spirit is an irresistible spirit, O that thou may work with might and with power even in those that have become old and cold, even in the parents, in the middle age, the children, the youth, Lord, each and every one of us. Oh, then there are so many things that draw us in this world, and Satan promises everything here below. But it is so empty, 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 and it will all deceive us at the last, when it shall prove to be but vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, we are like the beasts that perish unless we are given understanding by thee. Oh, turn us then, Lord, seek us out for thy great and great name's sake. Look upon thy church where that they are. Oh, that thou wouldst deliver them also from themselves. For thou knowest all that lives within the heart. Oh, then keep us from deceiving ourselves on our journey to eternity, and draw off of that bed of slothfulness. And wilt thou cause to bow the knees once again, thou who art the Alpha and who art also the Omega? Wilt thou then work with might and power in us and in our children? Look on all those that bring thy word. Bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Increase their number. And may it be also in the midst of our denomination. Lord, thou knowest the needs. Thou knowest the work that has been in the days gone by, in the days of our fathers, where it has been seen that thou didst convert men unto thee. That great and powerful work of thy Holy Spirit. And then it was seen in the life of men, of women, of children. But Lord, thou knowest our day and what we stand in need of. O thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we beseech thee, wilt thou send forth men who are not able in and of themselves, that they may be thrust forth into thy vineyard, men that may be taught thy truth within, that may be as those that may go forth in their own weakness, that thy strength may be made perfect within them. Lord, that thou thyself may gladden us with thy deeds in the months to come. Wilt thou be with all those that have special needs? Thou knowest them whether we know them or not. There are children, there are older ones, Widower and orphans, thou knowest all the sorrows, all those that mourn in these days, Lord, care for them in all their sorrows. And wilt thou be near and dear unto all those that are in trials and tribulations? Wilt thou look upon our school and all those that are instructing therein? Give the fear of thy name in truth and in uprightness. Bless also those means, and that it may be that one day our children may be given to tell of those saving impressions that have begun there in the days of their youth, when they have seen and heard from their instructors something of that tender fear of the name of the Lord. Lord, that thou may look upon us then also in this afternoon hour. Help us to bring thy word. Could it please thee to strengthen us for the labors that thou layest upon us? Lord, what can we say unto thee? Thou art right in all that thou doest, though we do not understand it. But Lord, could it please thee to increase our strength once again, that we may go forth from Sabbath to Sabbath, and that thou thyself may bless and use thy word. Be with us in this afternoon. Take away all that can be a hindrance within and without, and give that thy word may have free course, and that there may be place in our hearts to receive it, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 124, as stanzas 1 through 5. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund, Psalter 124, stanzas 1 through 5. beloved congregation, Asaph in Psalm 82 says, defend the poor and needy, and do justice unto the afflicted and to the needy. Why is that? That is because they are those that are not able to help themselves, not able to defend themselves. They are those that have no means, therefore. The new covenant, that is the second covenant, that is a covenant that has everything to do with help for the needy. Where do you find that in the first covenant? In the first covenant, there is no such thing. In the first covenant, it is do and thou shalt live. And for disobedience, thou shalt die. And for the needy, there is nothing. There is nothing but justice. There is nothing but judgment. There are those in this world that believe that man, he is still endowed with spiritual strength, even after his fall. Let not such a man speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no mediator in the first covenant. When such a man has strength of his own, then let him remain indeed with that first covenant. Because that covenant that is not weak in and of itself. No, Christ has proven that when he has fulfilled all its demands, and when he has earned thereby life for his own church. Paul says that the law is weak. But how is that law weak? In the first place, it is not weak to condemn. It is strong to condemn. But that law that is weak to save, how is that weak to save? That is in its connection to that first covenant. That is, he says, that law that is weak through the flesh, not in and of itself, but through the flesh, through the fall, through the inability, through the misery that man has brought himself into. But if man will not believe it, then indeed let him remain in that covenant. Because the Lord Jesus, when that man, young man, came to him and said, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? The Lord Jesus, he said to him, well, thou knowest the commandments. Thou knowest the commandments. What does he not need? Then he did not need any new covenant. Only let such persons not forget the perfection that is required, because the apostle says that though a man keep that whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. But when there are now those who do experience their inability, when there are those who do experience what that fall means, their own helplessness, their own weakness, then let them draw nigh unto that mediator of that second covenant. It is a covenant of grace. It is a covenant of mercy that is so altogether different, is it not? Mercy looks to those who are miserable and who are not able to deliver themselves out of that misery. And grace that looks to those who are guilty and who deserve themselves to be in that misery. That is now the blessedness of that second covenant that has been sworn already in eternity to help those who are not able to help themselves. And that is now the way that the Lord is going to receive all his honor, his greatest honor. And that people, they shall know from what they have been delivered, so that their song, Boston says, shall be a pitch higher than the song of the angels. We wish with the Lord's help to consider this afternoon for a few moments the first question of Lord's Day 13. Lord's Day 13, only question 33. Why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we also are children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children of God, children adopted of God by grace for his sake. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about the Son and the sons of God. First, the only begotten Son of God. Second, the adopted sons of God. The Son and sons of God. First, the only begotten Son of God. Second, the adopted sons of God. We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. That was the accusation of the Jewish people against the Lord Jesus Christ as he stood before Pontius Pilate, the governor. Indeed, a very serious accusation. Serious, because he did not say that he was the son of some great king here on the earth. He did not say that he was the son of Solomon or the son of Pharaoh or the son of Caesar, no. But he declared himself to be the Son of God himself. And it is understandable that many people have scoffed at the words of the Lord Jesus from that day to this. Because the Pharisees have said to him, whom makest thou thyself? That he declared himself to be the Son of God. That is something that was not so very visible. That is something that they could not see very easily. Indeed, it was so very hidden. And if we go a little further into the history of the early church, then we know that the Arians, they have also rejected the divinity of the Son of God, that is the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope, young people, that you will ever remain with the King James Version of the Bible in the English language. Why? Because it is not based, as many of the other so-called versions in the English language are, on the Alexandrian manuscripts. Alexandria is a place where this Arianism has flourished. And so that there are many places when you read those Bibles that are based on those Alexandrian manuscripts that you can see that the divinity of the Son of God was not received by that people. There are still many today, of course, for whom that is not a problem. There are those that say, well, the Lord Jesus, he is but a good man, and he is a good example for us. He has left that example behind, an example of love, an example of caring, and that we now need to follow that example of the Lord Jesus, and this is now for them sufficient. We think, for example, of the Jehovah Witnesses on the cross. They mocked him. And they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe thee. So they asked him for a special sign. That was a sign of their own choosing, that they said, if he will now descend from that cross, then they will believe that he is the Son of God. Do you also ask for your own sign? Maybe you have thought that sometime too, children, young people, that you would say, if the Lord would do such and such, some miracle in this world that was so evident, then I could believe it so easily. But now, well, now it is not so easy for me to believe. But what did the Lord Jesus do? The Lord Jesus, he had given his own signs. And he had given so many of those signs, his miracles, his works. And the Lord Jesus had said already to that people, if ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. No, the Lord does not need to answer our sign. But the signs that the Lord has given to us from himself ought to be sufficient. When the Jews, they have mocked with the Lord Jesus upon that cross, they have also condemned themselves. Why? Well, they said he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. He saved others. What a confession. Indeed, he saved others that were not able to save, not able to help themselves, and they were eyewitnesses of this. They have seen with their own eyes that the lame have walked. They have seen that one that was blind, he is given his sight. They have heard with their own ears the mouth of the dumb begin to speak and to glorify God. Their own eyes have been witnesses to the resurrecting of the dead by the power of the Son of God. Therefore, they are without excuse. Even though the greatest part of His divinity was still hid behind that veil of His humanity, still there were sufficient sparks that they are left as a people that are without excuse. And above all this, they have heard the gracious words that He did speak, that He has spoken as no man in this world has spoken, and that should have been sufficient to remove that stumbling block of His humility that they have placed in their own way. But the pride of the Jews did not suffer them to receive such a king, nor to confess His Godhead, His divinity, the evidences of which they were before their eyes every day. They are the evidences of their own reprobation, because there is no man that can be saved outside of the confession, the true heartfelt acknowledgement of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is He of whom the Father did say, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But that is now so different with that church of God. Why? That is not because of themselves, no. But it is because they are instructed by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And that same pride and sin that is living in their heart is not suffered to continue by that Spirit of the Lord. Self-effort is not lacking within the church of God. It is not lacking by God's true people. It is also not lacking by the hypocrite. But there is a greatly different cause. It comes out of a very different purpose. And it also has a very different end. The fruits of it are so very, very different. The rich young ruler answered the Lord Jesus. He said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" How many efforts? Much effort puts us to shame. Have we kept all these things? Can we say that also, young people? Can we say that, fathers and mothers, that we have kept all these things from our youth up? He says, "What now do I still lack?" What does the Lord Jesus say to him? He says, "Why do you call me good?" He had called him good master. "Why do you call me good? What need have you of me?" That was a man that had sufficient with a first covenant. That was a man that had sufficient with a covenant of works, came to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus, He says, "You do not need me." You read it different with others in God's Word. We read of a woman. She came also to the Lord Jesus. She had also spent many, many efforts in her life. Much work. And all her money on all physicians. But what do we read? We read she was nothing bettered, but she rather grew worse. Is that not different? Is that not so completely different? There are labors with the one. There are labors with the other. But where are those labors ending? What are now the fruits of it all? It is now an altogether different direction despite all their labors. It is the direction that Spirit of the Lord is leading His children. That is, He is cutting off all the fruit from the labor of that people. Nothing helps. Nothing works. They cannot get anywhere. Where do they want to get, boys and girls? They want to get a holy life. They want to get a life that is according to the commandments of the Lord. That is not what they cannot get. And why does the Spirit of the Lord lead that people in such a way? Well, that they may come to need that same power that woman needed. Because when that woman came to the Lord Jesus, then she did not need a man. But she needed God. She needed a divine power. That was the only thing that could cure her disease. Because from her side and the side of all the physicians in this world, that was an incurable disease. And now we may lay ourselves next to it. In the first place, do we have labors? Maybe we don't even have any labors. We have not even begun yet to labor. But if we have now begun to labor, we say, well, what is the cause? Where does that come from? Does that come from the Lord or does that come from myself? That is hidden. That is hidden. But the fruits are not hidden. And by their fruits, the Bible says, you may know them. And so we may ask you, where has it now led you? Did that lead you up or did that lead you down? Did that lead you forward or did it lead you backward? Did that lead you to the same place as it led this woman? Or when there is any man that says it is sufficient that Christ is a good man, it is sufficient that Christ is a good example, well, then he has not been instructed by the Spirit of the Lord. Then he has never been taught the disease of his heart. By nature, we think a little patchwork will do. And that is maybe just the work of a few days or of a few weeks or months or maybe just a few years. And we can put that off for a while and enjoy the world for a little while. And then we can fix it up a little bit before that we die. But what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, verily. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And now to be born again, that is not just a little patchwork. No, they are those who find out that they are not able to change this heart. That it will not take just a little reformation from my own side. That's something powerful. That something divine, that something almighty is necessary. The centurion had much power in this world. He could say to one, go, and he went. He could say to another, come, and he came. But then there was something that he experienced that he had no power over. And that was the disease of his servant. He could not say, be gone. No, for this, he felt and he experienced that a greater, a much greater, a divine, a heavenly power was necessary. And now how sweet the sound in the ears of such a wretched people. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, what a sweet sound it is in the ears of that people. What a sweet sound it was in the ears of the lepers, of the lame, of the blind, of the deaf, of the dumb, of everyone in this life that did experience, that did feel day by day the reality of sin, that it is a disease that they were not able to rid themselves of. These were incurable diseases. Everyone not able to help himself out of his misery. And when all the powers in this whole world prove to that people to be insufficient, then that heavenly power that becomes so precious to that people, oh, the proclamation of that power, the proclamation of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that Son of God, that is as a salutation in their ears. So you see them coming. Oh, even if they have to hobble, even if they are not able to walk and they have to come limping, still they are coming. There are those that need to be led by the hand by someone else because they do not know the way, they cannot see that way, and yet they are coming. There are those that say, I cannot pray. Wilt thou carry me there? But there they are coming. There are those for whom that law that is standing as a wall. Such a one as you that may not approach because of your wretchedness, because of your filthiness, because you are a leper. You must stay away. And that people, they are crying, even if it is from far away. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. See them coming. They still come. Why? Because he is the Son of God. Because he has a divine power. Because all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. There are voices that rebuke them. Those voices, they say, hold your peace. Do not cry out anymore. And what do they do? Well, they cry out all the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shall he turn them away? The Son of God. Shall he reject them? Find me one. You do that, children. You look in the Bible this afternoon. start in Genesis 1, all the way to the end of Revelation. See if you can find one. Will you do that? See if you can find one. That the Lord Jesus says, go away. Indeed, you will find some that had to wait a long time. The Lord Jesus, he spoke about the widow and the unjust judge. And she had to keep coming back. It was not overnight. Will you still cry? Don't give up. There was another one, 38 years at that pool of Bethesda. That was a long time, indeed. But the time came. The time came before that he died. Those mothers came with their infants. Disciples rebuked them. Go away. Were those mothers rebuked? Disciples were rebuked. Suffer them to come. And for Bartimaeus, that Son of God stood still when he cried. The Son of God stood still when he cried. When he persevered, not immediately, but finally. And then he commanded him to be called. Then he said to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What would you say? You have a cry ready for him. For the Son of God. What would you ask him? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said on earth? He said, know thou that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. To forgive sins. Power. Would you have a cry for him when he stands still? At your cry, at your supplication, what will you ask him? Let us sing. 235, 1 and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee, 1 and 3. Let's sing all the stanzas, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235. why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? Answer, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God, but we are children adopted of God by grace for His sake. Thus our fathers, they make a distinction between Christ, the sonship of Christ, and the sonship of God's children. There also we read the sons of God. Christ, He is the eternal Son of God. What does that mean? That means that He was ever, that He was always the Son of God. He did not become the Son of God. When He became the Son of Man, when He was incarnate, but He was always the Son of God from eternity, and at one time also became the Son of Man. But then there are also, we read, natural sons. In the Bible, that sometimes speaks about the angels as the sons of God. When it speaks about the creation of the world, then it says that the morning stars sang for joy. All the sons of God shouted for joy, I believe it says. Adam, he is also called the Son of God. We read, which was the son of Adam, which was the Son of God. That is, not by His nature as the Son of God, but He was the Son of God by His creation. Sometimes we read about all men. All men are the sons of God. Because Malachi, he says, do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? So in that sense, God, He is the Father of everyone by creation, and every person in this world is His son. We also read about magistrates, how that the magistrates are called the sons of God. All of you are the children of the Most High, we read. Why? Because the magistrate that is a special place in this world that God has given over mankind, an honorable place, and they are standing in the place of God among men. But now it is Christ alone that we read, He is the only begotten Son of God. John says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Thus, not created, but begotten, meaning that He is receiving His substance out of the substance of His Father, meaning that He is one with His Father and that He is co-equal to His Father in His divinity, in His divine nature. That is one respect in which Christ has no brethren. And yet our catechism that says that we are also the children of God. Thus it is speaking about that true church of God, and yet it is in a very different manner that they are the children of God, because they do not become children by generation, as Christ is the child, the Son of God, but as our fathers say, by adoption. But we are the children adopted of God by grace for Christ's sake. Thus Paul, he says that in that place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, There ye shall be called the children of God. Thus adopted, taken in to be a child. And now, boys and girls, when you would have in your family that your mother, that your father says, we are going to adopt a child, then that child that comes into your family just as you, then he is one of that family and he receives all the rights that you have as a child. And he receives all the privileges that you do as a child. Because in a legal way, then he is adopted and he is made a son, he is made a daughter. What a precious place. Because a son is not as a friend, and a son is not as a servant, and a son is not as a neighbor. But what relation is like to that relation between a father and his son? Because a father has an interest, an unremitting interest in his son. That is an interest because a son that is naturally his flesh and blood. A son, when we speak of a son, then we say a son that is one who is in my image. And now when that son is adopted, he becomes as the same as one of his sons. And so the Lord is doing with his children. Then he has given his son into the flesh. Then he is receiving that flesh also, even as his own son. And he is restoring in that people his own image again, so that there is a blessed, unremitting interest of a triune God in the adopted children which he has taken unto him in his own church. Oh, there is not so much that an earthly father will put away his son for. It is possible, but it is very, very difficult for that interest in that father to be taken away from that son. Is it not, fathers? What could they now do? That you would write them off, we would say. That you would say, that is no longer my son. And yet it is possible by an earthly father, but it is not possible by that heavenly father, because that covenant that is founded and it is grounded in eternity, that is where that it has been sworn. There is a place. There is an unchanging place in the heart of that father and in the home of that father for that son. When that prodigal has left that house of his father, then every day that father was looking for that son to return again. You say that, is that according to the Bible? Yes. Because we read that that son was yet a long way off when the father saw him. Thus he was looking day by day. And when that son had sinned against him, yet it did not take away the love that was living in the heart of that father for his son. A son, he has a special place of communion. That the father will tell his son what is living in his heart, and the son may be given to share with his father all his needs and everything that is living in his heart. that belongs not to his servant. And what is now awaiting for that son? Well, awaiting for that son is an inheritance. Everything is being laid up by that father for that son. Oh, how much is now contained in that word son? How much is now contained in that word father? John marveled. He says, behold, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What greater privilege can we have in this world than to be called the Son of God? Is there a greater blessing? You can be given a gift. But when you are given a gift, then it is finished. But to be called the son, to be adopted, that is to come into a relation. And when you may come into the relation, then the gifts, they are never ending. Then there is brought a relation that may be enjoyed in and of itself. Oh, how much is now contained in this? John, he says, beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Thus for those sons, there is also something awaiting them. But he says, we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him. That we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That is, the adopted sons. They shall be made like unto that only begotten son. But congregation, are we now a son? Should that not be the pursuit, the desire of our whole life? How would we die if it has to be for us so sudden, as it was last week for our friend, when in one moment we shall exit this world and we shall enter that never, never ending eternity? Or would you die as a son? Then do you seek to be a son? Do not assume you are a son. That is a fatal mistake. That is an eternal mistake. That is a mistake that can never be rectified. And the apostle says that we were children of wrath, he says, even as others. Thus, we are not born sons. No, but something has to take place in our life between the cradle and the grave. From being a child of wrath, we need to be born again that we may become the sons and the daughters of God. We do not just need to be persuaded to be religious. No, the world is full of religious people. There is no lack of them. We need to be stopped. Were you ever stopped? We need to be changed from dead. We need to be made alive. And those are two very different things, dead and alive. You say, how do I know if I am alive or if I am dead? Well, life has characteristics. A son. What does a son do? He loves. Right, boys and girls? You love. Belongs to life, right? You love your mother. You love your father. Because you are a son. You are a daughter. But do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? That is another thing, isn't it? The apostle says we love him because he first loved us. So that love for the Lord that is planted in the heart of God's children, that is the mark of a son. That is felt, that is experienced. What does it do? Love. Well, the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And when you love your mother and father, boys and girls, what do you want to do? You want to keep their commandments. You want to do what they say to do. You want to please your mother and your father, right? And if you will love the Lord, then you will want to do the same. That's the new life. That new life that is going out with desires, with hungering, with thirsting after God. Then our life changes. Did your life change? Do you think when you go from dead to alive that you can do all the same things that you did before? Do you think you can go to the same places that you went before? The Lord Jesus, he said to Matthew when he was sitting at the receipt of custom, he said two words. He said, follow me. Follow me. And what do we read? He arose and he followed him. See, that was easy. And what about the receipt of custom? That was all left behind. Then there is a life that people leave behind. Then it is not the same anymore. Young people, it was once a couple. They were dating. And that girl, she looked so plain. And that boy carefully did not want to hurt her. He said one time to her, baby, you like to curl your hair. She started to cry. She could not do it. Why not? Well, because it had become sin to her. Because it was vanity. Because it belonged to the life of the dead. Something has to happen in our life. And when something happens in our life, then it will be seen in our life. Fruits will be seen. Does a son always perfectly obey his father and his mother? If only. Only. But that does not mean they do not love yet. No, James says, in many things we offend all. But what is now the mark of that son? The mark of that son is that he grieves when he has sinned against his mother and against his father, then he is grieving that he has done so. What is now the mark of that son? Well, Paul says the mark of the son, because he says that a son that is not without chastisement. Because he says, if you are without chastisement, what of all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Chastisement. Who's that for? Children. Who's that for? To be corrected. It's not for the good children. is for the bad ones, right? As for when we are naughty, then we need to be corrected. And some of God's children, they can be corrected so easy. And others, they need more of that chastisement. But it says we're of you are all partakers, because there are none that are so ready to follow in that way. Or if it were not people of the Lord for the rod of God, if it were not for the rod of God, where would you be? Children, adopted of God by grace for His sake, Every dealing with that true church that is going to be for the sake of the honor of the Lord. Paul, he says, whom he did foreknow, them also did he predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We hear it again. It is those adopted sons and daughters. They must be conformed to that image of the Son of God. That only begotten Son of God. That is not the work of one day. No, that is the work of a lifetime. That people, they may be conformed to that same humility, that same obedience, and that same submission as that Son of God. But the Lord, He is not going to leave that people alone, no. And though they say, all these things are against me, yet the Lord is going to have His way with His own children. Oh, blessed be His glorious name forever and forever. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, make us children of Thee. Then Thou wilt have much work to do with us, that we may be brought into that blessed obedience. We need to be instructed. We need to be chastised. We need to be made children, that we would not be bastards and not sons, and that we would not perish. O Lord, give us each one a cry to Thee in our secret chambers. Bring us safely to our places once again in this day. Give us a desire that we may come together again in this week to commemorate in Thy suffering and Thy death, that we may have a need that is in our own heart, that death may have been also for us, that it may be evident in our life that we could not do without this. And wilt Thou keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death in this day and in this week? Wilt Thou cause us to walk according to all Thy commandments? And wilt Thou Thyself draw us? Forgive and take away our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 415 stanzas 8 and 10. Turn Thou unto me in mercy. Have compassion on my soul. I am sore distressed and lonely. Waves of trouble o'er me roll. And what follows in the 8th and the 10th stanzas of Psalter 415.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.